A video version of this podcast is available at AboundingJoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. Well, hey, kids, thanks for joining me in our study today. Glad you're with me. If you've been following along with me in these Veritas 2020 studies that we've been doing, you may remember that so far we've looked at a little brief kind of introduction to Veritas. And we've looked at some of the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Very, very important. God's given us this evidence. We need to know it and be able to share it. We've looked at some of the evidence for the historicity of the Bible from the study of archaeology. You may remember that I mentioned when we studied archaeology that it's a wonderful tool for demonstrating that the Bible really is a historical book, not just a book of mythology. And while archaeology could certainly get the attention of unbelievers, and it has, and it can cause them to decide, hey, maybe I better consider the Bible more carefully, and it's done that. That's what happened to Sir William Ramsay, remember? And while archaeology could be a way God uses to draw people to consider the claims that he's making in Scripture more seriously than they had before, that also happened to Sir William Ramsay, and it could even lead eventually to some of them becoming followers of Christ, which of course is also what happened to Sir William Ramsay. But we learned that archaeology by itself really can't demonstrate that God is the one who gave us the Scriptures. It can help us realize the Bible is a historical book, but it can't really show the supernatural nature of God. It takes more than just archaeology for that. But I believe a study that can do that is what we're about to do today, the study of fulfilled prophecy. We're going to be looking at that line of evidence beginning today. I think one of the strong evidences that God is the one who put the Scriptures together is this matter of prophecies that he caused his men to write down in the Bible that have been already fulfilled. There's a scripture verse that relates to this in Isaiah, who's one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 46, God says this. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I'm God. There's none like me." Listen to this. "Declaring the end from the beginning." He's saying, I make prophecies. "And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will accomplish all my purpose." In other words, God's saying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, and I'm going to make sure it happens. And so over and over again in the Bible, we find God doing exactly that. He reveals to his people what he's going to do, what's going to happen in the future. Now, and they happen. Now, some of them haven't happened yet because there are prophecies in the Bible of things that are going to happen in our future. You know, we've not gotten there yet. Sometimes we call those prophecies yet unfulfilled prophecies. They will be someday, but not yet. But that's not mainly our focus today. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled. Do you understand what I'm saying? They were written down at a point in time in history. And then later on, many, many years later, at another point in time in history, they were fulfilled. But from our perspective, both the prophecy when it was written down and the fulfillment that happened many years later, they're both in the past as far as we're concerned. Just one happened after the other. So God's done that for us so we can investigate it. And I believe it's one of the things that makes the Bible such an incredible and fascinating and unique book. I think it demonstrates that it could have only been given to us by God himself. Men could not have done this on their own. Now, I know it's true. Some of you may be familiar with this. From time to time, there have been men and women who have tried to predict the future. Sometimes you'll see programs on some of the channels on TV where they'll talk about some of these so-called prophets, and they call themselves prophets in some cases, or prophetesses if it's a woman. And in this sense, they felt they could predict things that were going to happen in the future. Some of them are very sincere about it. Here are three of them, for example. I don't know if you've heard of any of these or not. Edgar Cayce, he was pretty famous in his day, died in 1945. Jean Dixon came along a little later. She was very famous. She died in 1997. And then one of the most famous of all, I bet you've seen programs or heard about this guy, Nostradamus. He died a long time ago, back in the 16th century, 1566. But these are, you know, so-called prophets, and they were pretty famous in their day. The problem that these guys had, unfortunately for them, is they didn't always have a very good track record. Sometimes what they would do is make a whole lot of prophecies that were general enough and vague enough that someone could later claim fulfillment because it was so vague, even though you might not have ever guessed it from the beginning. But usually they either gave some specific predictions that later on just were totally off base. They missed it completely. Didn't happen. Or they gave such vague predictions that there could have been many events that could have been said to be a fulfillment of what they were prophesying. You see what I'm saying? If you make it vague enough, you can find something that'll make it kind of fit. Also, there's another factor I think sometimes gets into these situations. I think there are demonic beings, demons, that can get involved in feeding so-called prophecies to people. And then later on, the demon itself could get involved in helping bring about the so-called fulfillment of that prophecy. I think that can happen too. There are supernatural things here, not necessarily from God. But in any case, many of their prophecies were just plain wrong. And the Bible says this about that situation. This is back in Deuteronomy chapter 18. If you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? In other words, how can we tell when it's not really from God? And he said, well, one thing's simple. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that's a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet's spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. So God's saying basically, hey, there are going to be people coming around. They're going to be claimed to be prophets. But if someone comes around making a bunch of predictions about what's going to happen in the future, and some of them just don't happen, he said, you don't need to be afraid of that person. You don't have to take them very seriously. I didn't send them. But the Bible's different. When God predicts something in the Bible, it has either already come to pass, or in some cases, it's obviously a prophecy for the end times. Now, you might be wondering, well, how often did God do that? I mean, how often do we find these prophecies in the Bible? How many are there? That's an interesting question. There may be more than you've guessed. There was a great Bible scholar who died in 1979 by the name of J. Barton Payne. And J. Barton Payne wrote a book called The Encyclopedia of Biblical Prophecy. He really made almost a lifetime of study of biblical prophecy. And he listed in that encyclopedia 1,239 prophecies in the Old Testament alone. And he listed 578 more prophecies that were in the New Testament. So he listed a total of 1,817 prophecies in the Bible. I've seen other scholars who said, actually, he missed some. There are actually more than that. So I've seen some scholars say, oh, maybe 2,500 prophecies altogether in the Bible. Maybe 2,000 of them have already been fulfilled. So, you know, there are quite a few. Payne may have overlooked a bunch of them, maybe a few hundred of them. In any case, I think you'll agree, that's a lot of prophecies. And from time to time, mathematicians have tried to figure out, well, what's the probability that these prophecies could have just been fulfilled by sheer chance? I mean, is it possible that the prophecies were very specific and yes, they were fulfilled, but it's all just chance, kind of like rolling the dice. Well, when they try to come up with those kind of calculations, they come up with numbers that are ridiculously improbable. It's not going to happen. We would say that's absurdly improbable. There's just no way it could happen. For example, I've read some mathematicians who said if you added up all the atoms in the known universe and then just picked any atom in the known universe at random, that the probability of picking a particular one would be far greater than the probability of these prophecies being fulfilled by just chance. All of the atoms in the universe? According to one Bible scholar who was studying these things, he said he listed 61 major prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament. And he worked out the probability of 48 of them, only 48 of them, coming to pass. He said that would be about 1 out of 10 to the 157th power. Now, there's no way for us to wrap our brains around numbers like this, and I'm gonna try to overwhelm you here with numbers here for just a few minutes. There are about 10 to the 80th power atoms in the known universe. So 10 to the 157th power would be approximately the number of atoms that would exist. Listen to me now. If there were as many universes as there are atoms in our universe, if there were as many universes the size of our universe, there would be that many atoms in all those universes. Does that boggle your mind? It should boggle your mind. I mean, there's no way for us to even come close to wrapping our brains around things like that. But I want to take just a moment to try to stretch our minds just a little bit in that direction, just to give us a little smidgen of a clue about how vastly improbable these things could happen by sheer chance. So let's lose some numbers here. Let's just think about this. Let's start with a single living cell. You're familiar with biology. You've studied cells in biology. But you know they're so tiny, you have to have a microscope to see it, right? You can't see it with your naked eye. Well, in a given cell, there might be a quadrillion atoms. In one cell that you can't even see with your eye, a quadrillion atoms, that's a million billion. A trillion is a thousand billion. A quadrillion would be a million billion. Can you imagine it? No, you can't. I've already gotten way beyond our ability to wrap our brains around these numbers. That's in one little cell in your body. But let's keep going. Your body contains about a billion of those cells. So there we have a million, billion, billion atoms already just in your physical body. Can't grasp it. Now think about all the people on the earth. There are about half a billion tons of human flesh and bones on the earth. And we're talking about millions and billions and billions of atoms. And then you try to imagine the number of atoms on the earth itself. The earth weighs about 6 million, billion, billion tons. You keeping up? You doing the math? Are you adding up these atoms? There are a million billion atoms in one cell, a billion cells in one human body, 500 million tons of human bodies on the earth. The earth weighs 6 million, million, billion tons. Now, how many atoms do you think there might be in the sun? You could fit a million earths inside our sun. And then there are about 100 billion stars like our sun in our galaxy, our one galaxy. Think about how many atoms there must be in our galaxy. And there may be a trillion galaxies in the known universe. That's just a guess too. And to think that the probability of these prophecies being fulfilled by chance is less than the probability of picking one particular atom out of all the atoms in all the imaginary universes, if there were as many universes as there are atoms in our actual universe. What? You get it? You hear what God's doing here? He said, don't you dare even begin to think that these prophecies could have just been fulfilled by chance. That's not going to happen. This is supernatural. This is miraculous. Let me give you another illustration, sort of like that, maybe a little easier, but still overwhelming. We were thinking about just then in that illustration I was talking about the probability of 48 of these prophecies happening by chance. Well, let's lower it from 48 to only 8. The probability that only 8 of them would come to pass by chance is 1 out of 10 to the 17th power. I said, oh, that sounds more manageable. Not really. But here's how to wrap your mind around that number. I don't know how familiar you are with the size of the states. The state of Texas is a big, big state. It's the biggest state in the lower 48. But if you cover the state of Texas with silver dollars, I mean, you're talking about hundreds of miles across and hundreds of miles from north to south, hundreds of miles from east to west. It's a huge state. But if you cover the whole state with silver dollars, 2 feet deep, silver dollars all over the state of Texas, that would be about 10 to the 17th power silver dollars. Now, if you painted one of them red and blindfolded me and then said, now we're going to take you in a helicopter and drop you down somewhere in the state of Texas, and you can go all over the state as much as you want to, but you got to find that on your first try, you got to find that red silver dollar, the probability I could do it would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. It's not going to happen. It's totally absurd. So you say, you're taking a lot of time with this. Yes, but I'm trying to help us understand this is supernatural. This is God's doing. It's not something that men could have cooked up or just could have happened by chance. Now, I want us to consider some of these prophecies. We're going to just get a little bit more specific here about some of the prophecies. Here's one, for example. Isaiah, mentioned him already, prophesied by name that Cyrus, the Persian emperor, would conquer Babylon and would conquer Egypt. And by the way, when ancient Babylon rose to power before Cyrus conquered them, a lot of people thought, there's no way to conquer Babylon. It's totally unconquerable. Isaiah said, no, it's going to be conquered. Cyrus will conquer this mighty nation called Babylon, And not only that, he's going to let the Jewish captives return to their homes. Isaiah prophesied this around 711 years before Jesus was born, roughly 711 BC. Listen, that was nearly 180 years before Cyrus issued the decree allowing the Jews to go home, which he did in 537 BC. It was fulfilled. That prophecy was given about 150 years before Cyrus was even born. And listen, it was given 106 years before the Jews were even taken into captivity. Now, you know what the skeptics are going to say about things like this. They say the same thing about all the prophecies. They'll say, well, obviously, they say, these things were written after the events happened. They were just pretending it was prophecy, but it had to be written after it all happened. Well, the question to ask them at that point is, okay, if you think that's what happened, can you give me some evidence for that? And the answer is no. They don't have any evidence. The only thing they can say is, I don't accept the supernatural. The supernatural cannot happen. This could not have happened. So it must have been written afterwards. They don't have any evidence. Because all the manuscripts we have of the book of Isaiah are the same book of Isaiah we have in our Bibles today. You know, there's not a manuscript that has just part of the book of Isaiah and then a later manuscript that has more of Isaiah. No, it's all there from the earliest manuscripts. They just have an anti-supernatural worldview. In the 1940s, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Are you familiar with this? Qumran. 1950s, they were examining all these scrolls. Guess what? They found a copy of the book of Isaiah. And it was an ancient manuscript that was actually pinned down. This copy of Isaiah was written maybe 100, 200 years before the time of Jesus. I mean, that's a really ancient manuscript. And guess what? It's the same book of Isaiah we have today. There's just no ancient copies of Isaiah that show that part of it was written later. In fact, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it's likely that these prophecies that God made through Isaiah about Cyrus were a big part of the reason that Cyrus actually allowed the Jews to go back to their homeland. You remember Daniel? Daniel lived at the same time as Cyrus, and Daniel was a great advisor to Cyrus. He'd been an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar and the kings of Babylon before Cyrus. Now he's an advisor to Cyrus in Persia. And I think Daniel probably told Cyrus about these prophecies that God had made through him, through Isaiah. And there were other prophecies made by Isaiah and Micah about the coming Messiah that I think may have been why, one of the reasons anyway, God put all this together, why the Magi, remember the Magi coming from Persia at the birth of Jesus? I think Daniel was probably the instrument God used to make sure all those prophecies were available to those Persian wise men. Daniel had those prophecies from Isaiah and Micah. God's a supernatural God. Sometimes he's chosen to reveal the future, as he did through Isaiah. It's pretty awesome. Well, there are more prophecies that I want us to consider, but for time's sake, let's save them for future videos. We'll stop this one right here and pray, and then we'll pick it up here next time. Father, I do pray that anyone who might be watching these videos would be overwhelmed with the supernatural power that you demonstrate when you give prophecies like you have through Isaiah and so many other places in the Old Testament. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for putting this in your word. Thank you for giving us these powerful evidences that this book is your book, that men could not have done this, that these things could not have happened by chance. You're a supernatural God. You do supernatural things. And one of the things you've done to stamp that into your word and to show us that and to give us this evidence is these fulfilled prophecies. So help us as we study these things to get them internalized so that we'll be able to share them with others as you give us opportunity. And help us just to be blown away more and more by your greatness, your power, your awesomeness, the way you've chosen to work through history. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us these things. Thank you for teaching us. We want you to get glory through this. We pray in Jesus' name.